I created this fucking thing from the Kumi Studio live, where the truth is still true. My guest tonight, he'll be out in a little bit, James LaFond, who has been in over 200 machete duels and 600 stick fights. He can still tie his shoes. Yes, that's right. He'll be here. Oh, well. That's the audience here tonight reacting to James LaFond. You can hang out and see that. Local news. I could do local news or something. Yeah, well, welcome to the show. In Violent Brooklyn, the paper of record, New York Post reports, a mischievous suspect suspected of criminal mischief. Ainsley Johnson, 34, 6 p.m., 69th Precinct Station House, Canarsie, did the unthinkable. Bit a cop. Bit him. Little chomp party. A little chomp party. Chomping part of the officer's finger off. Maybe you think that's not unthinkable. You think maybe not unthinkable. You think it's unthinkable. You think what you will. I find it unthinkable. You might find it thinkable. It is un. The Post reports the cop lost the tip of his middle finger, which I don't believe that. Garrett, I don't believe that. I don't believe you. I don't believe the Post on this. He lost the tip of his middle finger. I don't trust any. I don't trust any news source when it says just the tip. I still have to read off this, so I can't. I can't do that. He was charged with assaulting a police officer. Also, another biting story. Another cop bitten. This time in Manhattan. Saturday afternoon, Derek Stewart, 23, 4:30 p.m. at 357 West 37th in the nearby Garment District. Stewart was in an FDNY ambulance. The officer was putting him in, and he was putting the seatbelt on, and he bit him right on the arm. Excuse me, he bit him on the arm, the right arm. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn resident broke the skin on the cop's arm while they were en route to Mount Sinai, St. Luke's. He had some swelling. He got some shots, antibiotics. We assume he's okay. Oh, we have an update on that earlier story. The man who bit the cop's finger off might have swallowed it.
Now so, they're definitely lying.
Yeah. Yeah, they all spit. The maniac who allegedly chomped off part of a cop's finger inside a Brooklyn police station may have swallowed it, too. It's amazing we got that update, isn't it? Just like it happened to come thread the needle and come in right at that time.
We have live updates all the time here.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Turk. Now the whereabouts of the digit that official said was chewed off by Ainsley Johnson. That's at the 69th precinct. It's unknown. We don't know where that finger is, and it might be impossible to ever confirm unless you dig through that suspect's stool. Johnson, 34. I don't want the finger anymore at that point. Done with it. You can keep it and have fun with it. Bit off the, what kind of 34-year-old? Okay, bit off the officer's left middle finger during a bloody encounter in a holding cell. Wait, it's a holding encounter inside a bloody cell. He kicked in the doors, windows. Hush, what are you talking for? Our special guest, crazy old lady Helene Witt, is on the couch tonight. Hey, Helene, how are you?
Oh, fine. I'm knitting.
Oh, really? You're knitting? What are you making?
I'm making some mittens for the snow. You know, the winter's coming.
Oh, well, yeah. Sure. Well, that'll come in handy for that then, won't it? Thanks. Well, you just enjoy your knitting. Next. Now, this is tragic. The Bronx on Monday arrested in the Bronx. The cops on Monday. The Bronx didn't arrest anybody, but the Bronx, the cops did. Am I shorter than usual? What's going on? I feel...
Act like comes I'm, with age, Pat.
I need to act like I'm someplace, you know? Yeah. Do you believe this story, Garrett? Police on Monday arrested a Bronx paramedic accused of forcing oral sex on a woman in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. I haven't even read this story yet, and I'm already fascinated.
I believe it.
Yeah. He must have... this one's thinkable. quite thinkable, rather as opposed to un. Seems, what did he do? He went down on her, and she didn't want it? She called an ambulance complaining of possible pneumonia, and that's Carol Delgado picked up this woman. She's 43 years old, I suppose. Carol Delgado picked up the woman, 43. Either that or she's woman 43. but I think she's probably 43 years old. Delgado, who works, our guest is going to leave. He's going to be like, I made a mistake coming here. Works at an EMS station. He works at EMS station 26 in Morrisania. Forced the woman to perform oral sex on him. Oh, my God.
Oh,
wow, that's a horse of a different color. Now I can see why she's upset. She had to do all the work. Maybe it was a 469. Did I ever tell you my friend Seth Barron, you know, he does New York City Crime Report with me on you know, the podcast, the audio, which you guys, anybody who's not subscribing to that is a fucking dick. Which means, Turk, you're not, are you a subscriber or?
I'm a huge dick.
I think you're a tiny dick.
You've seen it, Pat. You should know.
No. I mean, your pants are so tight, you know.
Because of the dick.
Oh, boy. This is not going to work. It's just not going to work. Maybe if I switch my time slot, what would I, like, during the day or something? Like, I'm not talking to you.
No, we're stuck together. Not you, we're glued.
Not you, no. This is not going to happen. We got to get a muzzle for you. Speak when spoken to. Like Garrett, though, what time would I...
We got some spots like Monday, Tuesday afternoon before 2.
Before 2? God, yeah. That'd be great.
Like a noon to 1 kind of thing.
Yeah, imagine then. How That's late cool. I would be. That. Why are you talking? All right. You don't want me walking off this network. I don't care. I don't care what Kevin Brennan says. It would be a big fucking deal.
You and your 7 shows will take a walk out the door.
My 7 shows and my 1 paycheck. I'm a bargain at this network.
You're a network within the network.
That's a thought too, maybe. Just give me a whole day. Give me Saturday. And I'll do the whole day. Well, that would be a popular day. If I have Ant on as a guest. He faces suspension without pay for up to 30 days, this guy. He was arrested at 12:45. Charged with sex abuse. Oh, my God. How do you force a woman who you've picked up for pneumonia to suck your dick? I mean, I know how. I think I know how. I've never done it. But I think I could. Rapists, say what you want. They work hard, you know. They work hard for what they get. It's not that they deserve it. It's not that they've earned it. But it is not easy to make somebody suck your cock. And anybody who was married when they were 20 knows this. When you're married in 20, you spend your whole life trying to get your wife to suck your cock. Once, you know what I mean? Just once in a while. Because those crazy dick-sucking ladies, they don't start doing that until later in life, most of them. Yeah, they don't get that way in their teens. You know, some of them figure it out. We have a great studio audience today over in the bleachers, and boy, they are quiet. They're on the bleachers, if you don't mind. Getting a little early shot of James LaFond, but there's a bleacher cam. Is there no bleacher cam tonight?
Wait.
This is on purpose, isn't it? I mean, I'm a dick. I get it. I'm an asshole, but like, you still got to do your job, sort of. Thank you. Hey, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Doing well.
I like that shirt. I got one just like it.
Limited edition swag.
It's a red hand, and what does it denote?
It is the symbol of Pax Dickinson's abortive far right crowdfunding website.
Pax Dickinson sounds like Bizarro Me or something. I'm Pat Dixon. He's Pax Dickinson.
I have jumbled.
I'm not sure that's
before.
A real person.
Oh, he's very real.
Is he? And what does he do?
He lives on a farm in Pennsylvania right now, keeping a low profile, as far as I understand.
It's hard to do anything else when you're out there on a farm in Pennsylvania. It kind of comes with the territory, you know. It's a low profile life. So he's not farming?
Not that I'm aware of. Just maybe dodging meth addicted Amish people.
The Amish are not on meth. There's one thing I know. I don't think they get on meth. There was a show about the Amish on not too long ago. You remember that?
Yeah, I believe it was all staged. Isn't that how that worked out?
Yeah, they were all wearing fake beards and whatnot. So what's the welcome to New York. You're on vacation this week?
Yeah, this is my third birthday in a row.
Your third birthday.
Did I come to this studio?
Oh, no kidding. So you're here. It was happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thank you.
Today's your birthday. Okay. How old are you today?
I'm going to be 33 on Wednesday, but hot water doesn't,
they don't acknowledge you?
What's that?
They don't acknowledge you when you come in hot water?
I think they'll recognize me.
Well,
anyway, yeah.
Celebrate with them then. But
also, I came to see you, Pat.
This is the best
show on earth, and it gives me a reason to live.
There we go. Now we're talking. Zach Wynn is here.
Get him in Turk spot.
Yeah. That's some respect.
Yeah.
Instead of this lip. Too much lip. What do you do? What do you think will happen to this guy if he's not the only? Wow, Jesus. Look how fucking big I am. Did that happen?
Don't flatter yourself.
Is that the way you want it? You got to stop talking. You're not good for the show. Nothing you say is funny, and it doesn't make me happy personally.
Are you allowed to be armed?
Why are you talking? Does the audience have a mic?
Three years
in a row, and he's getting all chatty. I get a guest in here. Maybe you know what it is? There's just too many holes for people to just run into and do things, and not enough stuff happening. This is an important story, and I am going to bring our guest in for this. He is, like I said, he's like the foremost expert on knife fighting. He wrote the book on it. He wrote the fucking book on knife fighting. If there's anybody in the booth who, is kind of like sort of not, boycotting the fucking show at this point, could pull up, as we did last week, on YouTube, Surviving Edged Weapons, the greatest movie of all time. And also pull up Ernie Anastas, Keep Fucking That Chicken, because that's always good for a look. And in the meantime, you guys can listen to this very, very much faster and much faster. Oh, let's look at the cartoon. This is from Douglas Nelson. This little clip from New York City Crime Report. Douglas Nelson has made it into a cartoon, and you can hear him at Radio Misfits. His show is the Mr. Nails In show. And I'll be on there next week, too.
Rikers Island, when you walk around, you're just... It's
wrong thing.
Because in the regular population...
Cartoon. Sorry. That's your guest there that you sent me there, Zach. That's a West Side promo. Yeah, this is not good. This is not good for people to see. Yeah, there you go. I don't think this is going to be it.
You remember David Sweat?
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah, who's okay. That? David Sweat,
come on
from
up,
prison.
James.
Clinton.
Oh, yes, that guy.
The Shawshank Redemption fellow, the cop killer. Well, this guy.
He killed a cop?
Yeah, he killed a cop. Not during the escape, but that's what he's locked up for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This guy apparently, he was having some.
Not the TV.
He says he wasn't pleasuring himself during a recent visit with a gal pal. Because, sometimes the prison sex is
the hottest kind.
It comes down to you get a little handy or something from, during a visit, under the table.
Yeah.
It was like plastic tables. Where,
right.
The visit was almost over, and he said he drank about 3.5 20-ounce iced teas, and he really had to pee.
Yeah.
This is during an hour-long interview. So any little boy or man, like any little boy or man would do,
do
I grabbed it like, man, I really have to be.
Oh, okay,
that's it. Sources said Sweat was punished for fondling himself through his state-issued pants up in his upstate lockup with his fiancée. The man's engaged, by the way, Frances Malinick, who is a looker. Holy Christ, look at her. I mean, like a...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what this Italian actress looks like that Weinstein is getting away with groping, but she cannot be any more beautiful than this woman,
well,
Frances Malinick.
I think a lot of these guys, in prison have a bunch of girlfriends who come see them.
My mistake. I guess this wasn't a handy. I think I'm conflating this with another prison story that I read recently. It was an account of prison sex called A Gentleman's Guide to Sex in Prison.
Oh.
And
how gentlemen do it.
Yeah. Gentleman's Guide to it.
Yeah, but this guy.
But this guy was just fondling himself.
Yeah, but then didn't the woman say, no, I wasn't fondling him. I was, he had a boil or something.
Well, like he was complaining about a lump in his groin, she claimed. And she said that she's a nurse and she was trying to give
him. To pee.
So obviously that was happening. Yeah. she was giving him an exam.
So which was it? Was it an exam or did he have to pee?
I had to pee and it happened to be while she was looking for a boil down there. Look, it's just the truth. It's not, I know that it's took, look, you have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to, tie a knot in it from needing to urinate at the same time that you're getting a medical exam from your nurse.
Oh, God. Can you imagine how annoying that would be?
You're like, man, we have to squeeze all this in.
Yeah, right.
He's in Attica. They've added 2,000 more cameras.
Well, once they get married, he'll be able to apply for conjugal visits, and they won't have to worry about this. They'll be able to spend a whole weekend in a trailer.
Mm.
So that's, of course, the Mr. Nails In show, Douglas Nelson. And that's from New York City Crime Report, but it was done by Mr. Doug Nelson of the Mr. Nails In show. Why not just call it the Doug Nelson show? Why make it all complicated with the Mr. Nails In? Donald Trump over the, this was from Friday. He referred to, I love Donald Trump so much. He said that there's a ton of rapists. I used the word rape when I came out, remember my campaign opening remarks at Trump Tower when I opened, everybody see he was so tough. Everybody said that. Everybody said he was so tough. Used the word rape. Well, yesterday it came out that when this journey came out, women are raped at levels that nobody has ever seen before. Wow. That is incredible. Raped at levels never seen before. I can't even conceive of what that rape could possibly be. We'll talk about that on Trump this week. And, of course, de Blasio aide busted with gun and car as well. That's also a thing that's happening. Why not throw it up there? Why not take it down for 1 second? Fucking tard. Rape charge. Look at this. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. Oh, by the way, Trump this week will not be video, just audio only, myself and Kevin Downey Jr. So we could not apparently get in to make that studio thing happen, but you can still listen, and that will be coming out Friday at 4 o'clock right here on Compound Media. Trump, all about Trump. We'll talk about that. Now, my guest joining me now, James LaFond, author of such books as So His Master May Have Him Again. And this is a history of runaway white slaves in plantation America. Runaway white slaves. How about that? And this is available on Amazon?
Yes, sir.
And is this your most recent book?
No.
You've written a number of books.
It's over 140 right now. I'm currently working on 34.
Okay.
The next one to come out is Man Gearing. The last one that got published was Son of a Lesser God, which was the biography of a real mountain man from Utah whose father was a shepherd and a hard rock miner.
Well, that's got to be a hard...
It was really the biography of his father.
Oh, okay.
Told by his son.
Aren't we all, though, in a way, you know? He was a shepherd, his dad.
He did a lot of things, and he taught his son to hunt,
mm-hmm.
fish. He worked as a shepherd from the time he was 12 years old till World War II. And he was just a little too old to get drafted. Most of the guys from out west went into the Pacific.
I'm starting to think you're just quoting the lyrics from a Charlie Daniels song. It sounds great. Now, you've written the book on knife fighting as well.
The Logic of Steel, I wrote it in 1999. It was published in 2001. It's my best-selling book, but I hardly made any money off of it. Some funny things happened with that. It went out of print, and it became a collector's item. And my 10 free books, I had given 9 of them away to people who never read them.
Oh, right, of course.
And probably used them as doorstops.
Uh-huh.
And then some Japanese guy managed to buy 10 copies from Paladin Press, and he never sold them. And as soon as it went out of print, he sold all 10 for $249.99. And some brat had it up on eBay, a used copy, for $999. And I had gotten 53 cents a copy for every copy it sold through Amazon. And I only sold like 700 copies. So.
My God.
But it was it's still my best-selling book.
So you don't give a fuck if anybody buys that book?
Now it's come back to me because Paladin Press went out of business, and now if you buy it, I make $26.41.
How much does the damn book cost?
I put $50 on it because used copies have been going for about $50.
So a new copy should be, comparably priced.
Right. So man, I sold a few of them.
That is pretty nuts, man. Your book is... And now, why is it that people like that book so much, that particular book?
I did a study between May of 96 and June of 2000, in which I conducted 1,675 interviews of people who had been in violent encounters. And I broke it up into four different subjects, and one of them, a big concern amongst martial arts people, is knife attack. And that's mm-hmm. why all those machete duels I did, we did them with dull machetes. That was largely, it was competitive combat, but it was in the spirit of experimentation.
Right.
Because you want to know what's going to happen. Because I found out of 314 knife encounters, only 10 of them was each guy armed with a knife. Usually it's just some dude stabbing some other guy.
Right.
So the machete fights were actually an attempt to try to get some more information, real information for people. So people use that book. Martial arts instructors will use that book as a handbook and a guide. So they want a print copy. It's not something you just read. There's a lot of funny stories told by guys that stab people.
Right.
Salt stabbing.
Not the kind of thing that you're going to, that's very convenient to take a Kindle out into the dojo. And you're right. Yeah. And so, the book, you say most of the encounters are like people bringing, people bring a knife to a gunfight sometimes, and there's people who bring a nothing to a knife fight. And that's the issue. They're taken off guard a lot of times.
And most of them are not even fights. They're just attacks.
Now,
I do have one of the most interesting encounters was knife on knife, but more accurately, it was heroin on marijuana. A friend of mine who fought in the 101st Airborne, and he was in the Tet Offensive, Vietnam vet, real tough Italian guy who used to collect money for this Chinese guy when his drug dealers didn't pay him up. And he would sometimes go all the way out to Arizona to collect money from people.
Wow.
And I call him Bano. Bano is friends with the owner of a bar. It's on Charles Street in Baltimore in the mid-1970s, and it opens into a stairwell, like the one on Cheers. And only this is Baltimore in the 70s, and it's before the Inner Harbor gets redone. And he's just smoked a bunch of pot with the owner. He's got $3 left. He's going to go down to 5 and 10 to get peanut brittle.
Because that's what you do with your last $3.
Yes, absolutely. And then he's going to go home and play with the kids. It's Saturday night. So he comes out into the stairwell, and there's this tall black dude in a trench coat that's got a blade out to the right side, and he's got a give-me hand on the other side. And I don't even think that he says anything. And Bano complies. He reaches into his back pocket, and then he stabs the guy in the chest, and he just uses a 5.5-inch Bowie Song blade. I don't even know how to use these things. It's the ones you see guys flip around, and it closes and opens.
Okay.
He stabs the guy, and I asked him, I said, well, what did you do then? He said, well, I stabbed him again. What else am I supposed to do? He's still standing there. I said, well, what did you do then? And he said, I stabbed him again. And he said, then he started to sway towards me, so I stepped aside, and he fell forward in the hallway. And I asked him, what did you do then? He said, what do you think I did? I went down to 5 and 10 and got a peanut brittle.
Yeah.
I was hungry. And I said, what did you do then? He said, well, then I went home, and I woke the kids up and played with the kids at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's this guy's life. You know, it's never going to come back to that fucking guy in the stairwell.
And I couldn't wait. I said, well, what happened with the guy? He's like, what guy? He wasn't a threat to me. I didn't care what happened to him. I was like, dude, didn't you get the paper the next day? And he said, I don't read the paper. So that's Bano.
This is unconfirmed. But he was on heroin, the other guy.
The other guy was a junkie.
Do not rob people on heroin.
Right. Pot
I mean,
one.
That seems like such an obvious thing, you know? I mean, like, if you're all having, you know, it's partying with some drugs and stuff, you might want to, like, now listen, have you, I don't know, you probably haven't kept, you don't keep up with the news too much, I don't think, because you mentioned to me that, like, you know, the news is happening all around you all the time. You're in Baltimore trying to stave off attack in the neighborhood you live. Now, you don't get fucked with very much because you're clearly the wrong one to fuck with.
Last year, I did.
Did you?
Last year, I was attacked 20 times in 2017 because now I got a gray beard and a gut and a bad hip, and I'm limping along on a cane.
All right.
So I actually have to, you know, I mean, I'm an old lame leopard out in Dindustan, and the Dindustan lions are coming to get me. So I had a lot of material that I wrote up on my website and went into various books.
It's at jameslafond.com, is that what it is?
Sir.
Jameslafond.com. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Ryan. Websites. Bob Dylan is here tonight having a seat. Says, oh, yeah, I know. You're a little less Dylan-esque now. Oh, come on now. The de Blasio administration has an official, oh my goodness, Reagan Stevens, deputy director in the mayor's office of criminal justice, two young men and her arrested. I'm supposed to be looking here. Is that right? That one?
What are you looking for?
The camera, I'm just saying, is that where I'm looking?
Yeah.
Right.
great.
Now there were she's arrested because there were some gunshots, and the cops use they have a way of detecting that now, which is what is that called, shot spotter device. So when they recognize these shots, that's where the shot spotter device in Jamaica, they recognize shots. They were so burst of five gunshots. All right. Well, this woman, Reagan Stevens, like I said, deputy director in the mayor's office of criminal justice. Which is like a layer of bureaucracy that I believe tries to, like, cool shit out between gangs and the city. They probably just tip them off and let them know how not to get arrested for things. Apparently they were not able to do that. We can come back to the studio anytime. That's her right there. Isn't she attractive? This is I'm gonna go straight on here with me since, yeah, here we go. They found in the glove box a loaded 9mm semi-automatic pistol with the serial number kind of scraped off, and a spent shell casing on the floor near Stevens' feet in the rear of the 2002 dark red Infiniti SUV. Okay, so five shots went off. It's an eight-shot clip with five shots left, you know, like one in the chamber and I guess two in the clip. It's they have video of the muzzle flashing out of the window of of the vehicle, and yeah, that was at 174th and 109th Avenue. That's where they pinpointed it. So the video captured that. Handgun was seized by the cops. Like I said, 8-round magazine held three cartridges, two in the magazine and one in the chamber. Stevens is 42. The two young men are in their 20s. She is dating one of the guys. The other two guys' names, I'm not really sure they matter too much. She's dating one of these guys. Just a couple of, so how often is a mayoral official arrested with a gun in the car with a couple of thugs? This is what you get for reelecting Mayor de Blasio. He's the most pro-crime mayor we've had since Dinkins. If not Mayor Bean back in the 70s. And speaking of the 70s, I don't know if you noticed my cup here. That's Street Warrior, Ralph Friedman. Yes, that's right. Ralph Friedman, I'm talking to him in a couple of days. You'll see that over the weekend. That will be available on Compound Media, I believe, Saturday. It's coming Saturday at 4. I don't know if the highlights page is back to normal, if it's back to free or not. Garrett, do you know anything about that?
It's still free, right?
The highlights page, I was unable to get it the other day, like normally. Can you see if it's there, if it's all good?
Yeah, one sec.
I mean, check it out, not through the Compound site, but just by typing in /highlights.
Yeah, it's still there.
And it's watchable now? Okay.
Yeah, it might have been down for a little bit when you checked it or something.
But. Yeah, it must have been that. So we're all good now. It'll be on Saturday at 4. Hughes and Forbes, that's who we're talking about. Now,
Oh, know what happened? I think John forgot to take off the subscription. You need a subscription for it. We realized it today. So it should all be good now.
So it's something Turk did?
New Turk, old Turk.
Old Turk, not the young Turk. Sounds to me like this this mayoral aide is going to be in a little bit of trouble. I don't know what your mayor's like in Baltimore, but I would assume a Democrat and very pro-crime.
Yes, absolutely. They just changed police commissioners to a police commissioner that would focus on crime by the cops instead of crime by the other criminals that the cops are usually sicked on. And it's really pretty funny.
They can't. It's absurd today.
We had one Saturday afternoon. I know this because a friend of mine's a store manager who depends on a Baltimore City cop from the overtime desk for security. Okay. Since the riots, you no longer have shoplifting. You have looting.
Yeah.
They come in with canvas sacks, and they just start taking stuff off the shelf.
And they just walk off with stuff.
Right. Well,
are there always numbers of them, like at least 10, 15 of them? Or?
No, it'll be between 1 and 3 if they're adult males. The most security staff you'll ever have on it. You have one security guard that's not allowed to touch anybody. They call 911. They don't show up for 2 days. if you're lucky, you got the cop. He's got one of these guys. Then you got the store manager. Then you got belly tackling this guy, and the other one gets by him. So you'll have the same fence. He'll scout it out. When I was a grocery store manager, there was this guy that sells all the stolen stuff in Northeast Baltimore in bars, and he would count if I had a security guy, if Pete the produce guy was there, if I was there, if my co-manager was there, and he would send one more person over with an empty bag than we had on hand, because most of your employees can't touch these people. If they get hurt, you'd be better off letting them take a whole aisle of goods rather than have one of your employees get hurt and then sue you.
Yeah, sure.
And so that's really how it's done. But Billy wanted to know why he didn't have a cop. Well, one Saturday shift from 11 in the morning until I think 4 or 6 in the evening. And he found out that in all of Baltimore City, which has 9 precincts and is supposed to have 2,400 cops and has 60,000 heroin addicts and people to service them, there were 6 police officers on duty. That's not even one per precinct.
In the city of Baltimore?
In the city of Baltimore.
6.
6.
That is... Now, I don't know anything about police work. I know that's not enough cops.
If it's the wrong guy, that's not enough cops to take down one guy.
No, you need 6 cops just to show up, when somebody's cutting somebody on the subway or something, you know? I mean,
it's been an open city since 2015, since May 2015.
It's basically anarchy.
Yes, yes.
And how did they, what happened to, how many cops did you have then?
Well, we went.
You have 2,400 cops.
We went from around 2,400 down to, I think, 18 something. They have not been able to replace the police. So many guys are just quitting and going and working as sheriffs in small towns in other states.
Working as looters.
Just
kidding. Just change sides.
Well, and then we have the cops that are criminals. I mean, we have cops get busted all the time. We had...
the police is watching them now.
One detective got gunned down by some dude that was either a federal agent or a cop. And he was going to give testimony to on other dirty cops the very next day.
Wow.
And he gets gunned down, shot right in the head with his own gun. And then on his partner, who's not his regular partner, because they gave his regular partner the day off, doesn't do anything to help prevent him getting shot, but does throw him in their car and goes to drive to the hospital. And another car, which remains unidentified, plows into this car. And they got to get the jaws of life and take the cop that's been shot in the head out of it.
Wow.
And it's still being investigated. The FBI refused to investigate the case. And the family doesn't want Baltimore City investigating the case.
Now, why is that? Why do you think FBI would not want to get involved with something like that?
I don't know. I don't know. But for one thing, the aid.
Deep state shit.
What the DOJ wanted to do under Trump to help cities like Chicago and Baltimore, the Baltimore City administration said they didn't want that help.
Oh, no, they don't want that help.
No. Now, we've had 20 agents from different federal agencies assisting in murder closures and narcotics busts since, I think, July of 2015, when the murder rate just went insane after the riots.
Yeah.
Only 12 people were killed during the riots, but the rest of that year, the murder rate was something that had never been seen. It wasn't our deadliest year. Last year was our deadliest year. We made number one in the murder bowl.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. 343 kills, and we had just under 600,000 people in that.
That is something else, you know, because we do a my friend Tlaib Starks has a show here called Safe Space, and he is in Philadelphia, but he comes up for that. And we have something, a feature called the NNFL, which stands for Nig Nog Feral League. He's black, so it's okay. And they had a Super Bowl is what it was called. And Baltimore, winner this year, the number one crime city. And so
well, I guess we're a competing conference. The Murder Bowl, I guess, is a competing conference.
Yeah. So, and so you had you hit your biggest year.
You do weight classes, too. The Chicago Chiracs were the number one. They were the heavyweight champion.
Did you say Chicago?
Chicago. Chicago. And Baltimore is Harm City, so it's the Harm City Hood Rats.
Yeah, okay.
The Chicago Chiracs.
Harm City, of course, from Charm City.
Middleweight and overall champion and heavyweight champion.
Yeah, yeah. Chicago's, they're like up there with the big boys, yeah.
Flint's always going to win the lightweight championship, so we don't even bother checking that, you know.
Flint. Sure, yeah. That's been a real shithole for a long time. I got a strong tradition of being a excuse me one second. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
I see you're still you're still knitting over there?
I'm done with the socks.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Now I'm knitting a bicycle.
A bicycle?
Yeah. This gay guy in 2H in my building.
Uh-huh.
He was getting pounded one night. I said, let me knit him a bicycle.
Oh, that'll okay.
The gay bike ride.
Oh, okay. Okay. That sounds great. That's good. That's the right color and everything. Thanks, Elaine. And just enjoy the show. Enjoy your knitting. Zach, thanks for coming tonight. You know what? Tonight's your lucky night. If you like stand-up comedy, I'm going to Dangerfields after this. You're welcome to come and have a drink, tag along. And all that stuff. James, you too.
Thank you.
I know you're in town, and you know who doesn't like. Oh, and you too, Bob Dylan. Why not? I can't believe I almost didn't ask Bob Dylan sitting in the. Would you like to come as well? Please do. Dangerfields. Yeah, we're. I'm going on at like 9:30. Yeah, it's not a late night. What time would make it work for you?
11:22.
That's when I'm going on. Well, you have to miss. That's fine. We'll do it again.
Hey, Pat, Tlaib's calling in.
Yeah, okay. Let's put him on. Hello, Tlaib.
Hey, Pat. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Man, I heard you talking about me, so I figured I'd call in.
Yeah.
What's good?
That's good hearing from you, sir. Yeah, we were just talking to James LaFond about Harm City, the Baltimore Bantus, and their fantastic year last year. He said that, in fact, they hit their biggest year with murders, which I'm sure you already knew this. It was 300 how many, James?
It was 343.
Yeah. So no surprise that they won the whole year.
They've been playing real hard. I mean, that's why they get those numbers in. And frankly, that's why next year they might even still be the top contenders.
They might.
Spot.
They might. They very well might. You know, I mean, like Chicago has sort of taken this year off almost. You know, I mean, they're not really putting
back
up the numbers.
Bag, taking a trip.
Yeah, that's right.
Shot 12 the other day.
Oh, they shot 12 the other day. Okay, so I guess we'll be talking about those 12 on Safe Space this coming Thursday, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hand out some awards and whatnot, yeah.
There's a lot to talk about, especially when it comes to crime and stuff. But, hey, I'm going to try to make it out on the 23rd so that way you can get it going. You know what I mean?
All right, you're going to make it out for the 23rd? Oh, you know what? Let's go to one of those, that second promo that's got ISIS Faggot on it, because ISIS Faggot's going to be there. And I there's nothing like watching ISIS Faggot tear into an Upper West Side audience, you know, because he says so many things that they feel are inappropriate, but at the same time, he's a faggot. So what can they say?
Yeah.
You know, they have to tolerate it. And a Muslim.
I like edgy stuff, but I mean, he even makes me cringe. Like, I'll listen to ISIS Faggot, what he has to say, and then sometimes I got to turn it off.
Really?
Much.
Yeah, because it's so extreme, and so not what you expect. Because he talks about, you know, getting into the pussy in the back of a man, and that's something
the pussy in the back. I think he's gay, yo.
I don't. I've heard people say stuff like that. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I don't know if he's gay or not. He says he's not gay. He said he just likes the pussy in the back of a man. That's where he likes to get his pussy from. He just, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all right then, I guess. But So
the 23rd, hey. West Side Comedy Club, 8 p.m. Hey, another show is the 19th, the Broadway Comedy Club. Now, that's going to be a blast. I've been booking people for that. It's going to be a real fucking hoot.
Y'all playing some tunes out there? Or?
Myself and Ryan Katsu Rivera have formed.
Oh, that sounds fun.
A de facto.
You still with him?
Huh?
You still with that Ryan guy?
Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll play some music. He's very busy these days because he's down in Florida and all this kind of bullshit, working with Larry Izzo, ex-exterminator Larry Izzo.
I figured you'd cut him loose by now.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Tlaib.
Quote. Well, no, well, he has a, by the way, Ryan is very talented and cool. But anyway, Larry Izzo
opinion.
And Ryan have an episode of that coming out tonight right after Crown Report with Madison Malloy. And she looks pretty good, Pat. I think we'd rank her if we did the game. Side bitch.
I give her
and wifey.
Uh-huh.
She's wife. She's wifey material for sure.
I'm not so sure. I mean, she seems pretty high maintenance, but she is a very, very attractive woman. And I think I could have hit it. I think I could have hit it. You guys watch that tonight and tell me if you think I could have hit it. Or Google Madison Malloy. But I think I was close. Now, where do we find that? It was on YouTube?
Yeah, that's going to be on YouTube. I'm sure Ryan will post on his Twitter. But
that's awesome that you got a deal with YouTube. Man, that's amazing. You got signed with YouTube and you get to post stuff there now.
Yeah, it's a pretty good contract they got, I'm pretty sure. But,
yeah, okay, Tlaib.
Anyway, but hey, good talk to
Tlaib
you, man.
Starks,
I'll
you're the
you
best.
Thursday.
And say hi to the seafood restaurant. By the way, in other local news, it turns out my wife is a whore. So just want to get that said. This is in yesterday's New York Post. I didn't expect to see it in the newspaper. That's the last thing you expect. You know, you think, okay, well, maybe you hear it from somebody word of mouth or something. But, you know, some people are professionals. They like to find this shit ahead of time. New York Post, yesterday's New York Post right here. And there's my wife being a fucking whore. But just to make sure I'm humiliated, my picture's in there, too. Look at that.
Wow.
It's a spread, isn't it?
Are you cucked in the New York Post?
No, I wasn't cucked. I mean, you know, I didn't watch it.
Right.
And get off on it, but and nobody. I think that see with a woman like this, I was pre-cucked.
Yeah,
pre-cucked, like you know, like some sausage sometimes is pre-cucked. yeah, this is about her book Unwifeable. So it's out now, and you contribute to the cause when you buy that damn thing. Unwifeablebook.com. I bought a bunch of these just to try to get them off the fucking shelves, you know, because I don't want people seeing this business about me. What is it, Helene?
I was thinking maybe a Japanese guy could sell one on eBay for $900.
Oh, really? That's a good idea. Yeah. $900 newspaper? Right. I don't know that this is worth everything that bladed the steel. What is the name of the book again?
The Logic of Steel.
Logic of Steel. The steel is a very logical substance. Now, support for our show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. That's right. They know about you, your life, and your family. And that's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home. You look so shocked, like somebody sponsors this show? Yes. Someone. It's part of a whole network deal, you know, so I get to say one, too, every once in a while. When it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan, it's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, how many homes are you up to now?
I tried to buy one and I failed.
Uh-oh, you didn't get a mortgage, see?
I left it vacant.
That box is not checked yet for James LaFond. I didn't even make the effort. But you want to be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Now, whether you're buying your first home or your 10th, as I said, Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Gives you, they're not keeping secrets. That gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. And it's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/compound, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. We don't ask much from you, but this week we need you to buy a house. Go there. If you don't, I don't get paid. Go to rocketmortgage.com/compound. I'm not sure how it works, but I'm pretty sure they withhold payment if you don't go there. And I don't need that in my life at all. Let's go to the do you see something there that says something about Louis C.K.? Let's do that.
I didn't pull my pants down. They did it. But I didn't want to start defending my actions. Because didn't I look worse?
You say they did. They pulled your pants
they
down?
They both did. One of them took the zipper, and the other one took the other. It didn't make me feel good. It made me feel bad.
I would think it'd make you feel great. You mean you were sexually assaulted, you were embarrassed to say something, or you didn't want to, like, you know, come out as, like, not an ally?
What I don't know is these two girls, they seem fine. They're fun and
it's
stuff.
It's a festival, right?
It's a festive mood. But I'm not really trying to be taking my pants off in front of them.
Yeah,
I'm not ashamed of my dick, but I don't want to show it to everyone in the room, which is two girls.
No, of course not. Because your dick, I heard, is a nigger cunt.
It's a nigger cunt dick. And it's a faggot. It's a faggot fucking dick. And it's really not my penis either. It's my butt cheeks.
They're in the front.
They're freckled and they're cellulite. It's a whole big mess.
Damn.
It's just a whole big.
So you don't like being naked in front of the ladies, really?
No. I couldn't even imagine what that's like for them to know.
Okay. Well, their version of the story is a bit different. They said that you just said, hey, you know, I'm going to pull my pants out. They said they jokingly gave a thumbs up and that you just, like, started, you took all your clothes off and just went to town.
You can come up a lot of stories. And what is it, 5-10 years ago?
Right. They had some time to
that
think it over.
That was a long time
Add
ago.
Add detail, yeah. We're all different people. You know, 7 years, we completely regenerate our skin and everything.
That was a different guy.
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
That was a different guy.
Scientifically, I wasn't even there.
That's right.
My bones are different bones.
Yeah, you've changed bones since then.
Neil deGrasse Tyson told me that my name should be something different now.
Yeah.
Because every cell in my body is different. Michio Kaku told me that.
Who did? Michio Kaku?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a theoretical physicist.
Oh, sorry.
He's a faggot.
You know?
And a nigger and a jap. And a cunt.
You're very well read.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's a nice thing to say.
Would you mind just saying a quick identify the show, just say it's Louis C.K., you're listening to New York City Crime Report, something like that?
Oh, yeah, I could do one of those.
Okay.
Hey, it's me, Louis C.K., and you're listening to the New York City Crime Report.
Okay, could you do it? Don't take this the wrong way.
More enthusiasm.
Like you're awake? Yeah, sort of.
I can't. See, that's one thing I can't do. I can't be up. If I want to sleep,
I asked you to do this, and now I'm being sort of picky about it. I guess it probably irritates you a little bit, Louis. Louis.
Cunt. I'm in faggot.
Perfect. Well, big story this week is that a Brooklyn man brandished a pipe like a gun and got shot. Fatal move, it says. Yeah, not everybody's against that. This guy is a crazy ass, and we could do with just a one shot here. Probably might be better, since I'm facing this way. Fatal move. He had a car part, it looks like, and he was pointing at people. He got into a combat stance, pointed it straight ahead, and the cops shot the fuck out of him. He's deceased, and of course, his dad says, "Well, you don't have to do that." His dad sitting here in the photo in his fucking socks. I mean, put on some shoes for the interview, for Christ's sake. We'll be talking about that on New York City Crime Report. A new episode will be back. We'll be on over the weekend. This is Monday, so we have time. And we'll be discussing other New York City-related shit in national news now. Do we have a little national news graphic we could do? Wouldn't that be something? See if you can put one together on the spot here. This will be fun. Also in the script here, just to give a little peek behind the curtain, since we're just doing the dress rehearsal now, there's a Google Map link. Look at that. Amazing. See? Now we know it's the national news. Oh, look, there's a vagina there, too. Yep, that right there is Cassidy Cunt. She has a history of domestic abuse convictions, and this is in Cerro Gordo County Jail. That's where she is for allegedly ripping the hair out of a victim's head. 25-year-old Cassidy Cunt of Kalispell, Montana, charged with felony domestic abuse. She hit the victim, ripped out her hair, bit her, and caused scrapes to her forearm and forehead. What a cunt. Cassidy Cunt. She's lovely, though. Isn't she pretty? Cassidy Cunt.
She's nice and trashy looking.
I'm not familiar with that last name. So if I'm pronouncing it wrong, but I believe her name's Cassidy Cunt. That is a strong way to say that. It's even stronger than, you know, cunt. You have to say it with that. She's beautiful. My God, look at her. She's like longing. What? Who looks like that when they're in prison, in jail, locked up for domestic abuse? Not a scratch on her. She looks like a shampoo commercial. She's beautiful. I want to fuck. Excuse me, I want to make love to Cassidy Cunt.
Stick with the first option.
Yeah, maybe other. Yeah. Get a good point. In other stories around, you know what? We have some. Since we have a reaction from Mayor de Blasio to that story with the aid, so it will be in picture form. There he is. See, now it's hard to tell when de Blasio's smiling and when he's frowning. So. Let's look at it. See, that would... Well, come on, guys, with the vaginas, please. We'll look at a picture of him smiling. I think he should be, big smile in the next... See, look at that, big smile and a frown. Yeah, that's... So it's a very subtle difference, you know? Maybe go back and forth a few times, smiles and frowns, just so you know. He has a squirming vagina mouth. Mayor de Blasio, our specialty on New York City Crime Report, the vagina mouth tea.
It is a
trademark.
Tea.
Do we have, what's next in the thing here? I can't believe it. We're all the way down to this now, but in Alabama, we are looking at a situation. Let's throw a headline up. The next, about a man who directs his girlfriend to rape his 11-year-old autistic son, who he believed he was gay. Alabama father had his girlfriend rape and sodomize James LaFont. Don't go anywhere. This man right here, the best father ever, had his 11-year-old autistic son raped because he feared the boy was gay. That's Sean Cole, 29, his girlfriend Kalita Moore, 21, of Huntsville, Alabama. Now, this is pretty common practice in Huntsville, Alabama. I don't know why they're making such a big deal out of this. They were convicted of rape, sodomy, and the sexual abuse of a child under 12. He's a little young, a little. Usually wait, 13. If you think a boy's gay, you have him raped. Everyone knows that. Bob Dylan, don't look so concerned. It's intended to be comedy, you know. It's don't be too alarmed. He's young, but I mean, you don't have kids, do you, James?
Yes, I do.
Do?
Grandchildren, too. Now, it depends on, is it oral sodomy or anal sodomy?
Well, if they thought he was, I'm going to guess oral, because
Well, then to me, that's not a crime. That old man should be father of the year.
Yeah. He's trying to help this kid out. Now, the autism, I think, is secondary, because they call everything autism now.
Right.
It's really not that, you know, we don't know what that means. Because it could mean, does math fast, you know? Or it could mean, fucking, der, right? You know, you just don't know. I don't know. It's a broad spectrum. That's why they say it's a spectrum. And, I don't think there's any point on the spectrum where it's, autistic, tard. Or maybe there is. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if it works that way. You're going to tell me all your children are autistic.
I wish my father would have done that for me. Instead, he walks in on me when I'm 17 with this 27-year-old woman, and I thought he was going to hit me or something because my stepmother almost saw it, and then he patted me on the back, and he said, "No worries. I was afraid you were gay. Now I know you're not." If he'd have just got me his secretary at work to come over when I was 11 or 12, we could have seen this out 7 years earlier.
It didn't have to be a surprise, Dad. Damn. Is that why you've been such a dick the last few years? Considered a fugitive, this woman is now, after she failed to attend trial and a warrant. A warrant for his arrest issued by the trial. So, okay, it calls her a she in one moment and then. And then a he in the next. So I don't know which. Cole's been behind bars since his arrest in January. The woman is still on the loose. The sexual abuse occurred during Thanksgiving 2016. When the 11-year-old boy, he was then 11, who lives in Georgia with his mother, he visited his father for the holiday. Cole allegedly discovered the boy in a compromising position with another boy. Oh, well, that's a horse of a different color. Was it another autistic boy? Because maybe they were just... Who knows what they were doing?
Doing math.
Yeah, they're one plus one. They were seeing how many times one goes into zero. On Thanksgiving, man, there's nothing like blowing your friend on Thanksgiving. That's it. Can you imagine being the dad? It's like, oh, happy son, are you going to come in and have some turkey? Oh, Jesus Christ. That's no wonder you didn't watch the game. You only wanted to watch the parade. Solely, he was worried his son was gay or might become gay. It's in the process of becoming gay. There was no evidence he had a sexual attraction to his son or children. So it's like not like that. He just thought he could straighten him out. I think this is his attorney speaking. Oh, it's a prosecutor. He just thought he could straighten. Okay, the prosecutor is kind of like making a good case for the defense. I thought that was his defense attorney. That's the prosecutor. He just thought he could straighten him out.
He needs a jury trial. It's got to be a jury trial.
Yeah, a judge is going to do the right thing. You need a jury trial. You got to be careful. Yeah, he thought he could straight. The crimes were reported by the victim's mother after the boy returned home from his visit. Yeah, that's you mentioned that to your mom? Come on. She became concerned that the boy started asking her sex-related questions, like, why does it smell like that? Is it always that? No, whatever. Okay, so the boy opened up, told her what happened. She immediately went to the police. I wish they would describe the actual rape slowly.
They never do, right? You try to look for, like, court accounts or testimony. You can never find it. I never know what happens fully. You think somewhere it has to be written down, right?
Yeah, it must be written down. It must be written. It's. I mean, if nothing else, check the boy's diary. Maybe, you know. I mean, like, we shouldn't have to.
I wish I could.
I don't think it's Googleable.
You know,
it's all in pictures, you know, his diary.
The founder of this network has a very similar story to this.
No kidding.
Yeah, his dad thought he was gay or didn't want him to be fruity and got him a girl to fuck when he was, like, 13.
Wow.
You know, not 11, and he's not autistic, but.
Well. The jury's out. I mean, he might be, because he does those voices. And we know Katsu Rivera is way on the spectrum.
It's true. He remembers, like, movie lines and everybody in movies.
That's what I'm saying. So either he has, like, a memory for movies he's seen over 100 times. What would you say at the end of that? You know what I mean? Like, if you got... You know, the girlfriend, you know, to come fuck him or whatever. How old was the girl who fucked him?
I believe she was 17 or 18.
Man, God, who are these women that you can just go, hey, would you mind fucking this underage?
She was some girl that would just hang around his dad's ranch.
And suck his dick.
And he was just like, hey, one day one of you, you know.
I don't know what it was. He knew that this chick was a slut. He had it on good authority. She was clean. And, afterward, you just go like, I don't know, Dad, I still feel a little gay.
Yeah. How
about a redhead this time? You got a pimp. Dad pimp. Well, that doesn't make it okay, this guy says. That doesn't make it right. Previously been arrested for domestic violence, this guy has. Douth it. I just now noticed this guy's name. His name's Doubt It. The fucking prosecutor. Doubt It.
I have to say something in a father's defense.
Yeah.
The biggest badasses in ancient history were the Spartans. You know, we see movies about them and everything.
Yeah.
Between the age of 17 and 20, those men were inducted into sex and instructed in how to have sex by the women who were too old to have children. And then the women, after training these guys for 3 years, would get together and decide which one of their daughters or nieces would marry this guy.
That seems like a damn good idea to me.
Right, and
I like that right there.
A lot of ass. So.
Yeah, I mean, they did. They fought well. They kept. If it wasn't for them, we'd all be Muslim. We'd all be Muslim right now. That shit would have happened many years ago. You know what I'm talking about, 300. 300 does look kind of gay, though, don't it? They look like a bunch of gays.
Well, maybe they had a similar problem there, and the women were stepping up and trying to make sure the guy, because they spent a lot of time just together with other dudes because they were out there killing all the time.
And these old ladies would come, and I mean, that was an old lady back then. They were like, oh, she is, like, not having kids anymore.
Yeah.
She didn't even have her period anymore.
Yeah, so 45 to 60.
How do we use these old ladies? And they probably loved it. Well, they have a lifetime of experience.
Yes. Yes, I was similarly instructed when I was a teenager.
You think you said she was 34?
No. 37? The 27-year-old girl was the girl I ended up marrying. But when I was 17, a 48-year-old lady that I worked for, painting railings, noticed that I was sweaty after workout, and she asked me just how many push-ups I could do. And I remembered a number. I said, I did 56 today at the end of my workout. And she said, how many could you do if you had help? And then I was doing push-ups on her basement floor for a while. They were assisted, so I didn't bother counting them. Cause,
yeah. Did you ever get to fuck her?
Oh, yeah. That was like 15 minutes. The thing was, though,
the guy who doesn't get it.
It was a huge, since my father hadn't supplied me with any preamble to this, she sounded exactly like this rabbit that I had killed 2 weeks earlier. And I got nervous, and I stopped. And she said, why are you stopping? I said, are you okay? And she said, no, keep on going. But it sounded like a dying rabbit to me. So
it's your frame of reference?
Yeah. So, you should have mentioned it.
You sound like a rabbit I killed.
Right.
It's good bedroom talk. Good
I had
talk.
I had a sense that was probably the wrong thing to say. So
the wrong thing with the ladies. There's no wrong thing because you're on top of them at that point. You can't say the wrong thing. It can't be said. That's a beautiful story, though. She was 17. I was 13. And, boy, I really took her to fucking town. I gave her the ride of her life. Best 90 seconds she'd ever had. And that's an exaggeration. Well, a Muslim was punched. How about that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. A Muslim. Oh, we got video on this, too. Yeah. In the link. This shocking moment, a Muslim teen punched in the head, knocked to the ground in a hospital ER, and newly released video security footage obtained by this TV station. It shows John Deliz. Oh, look at that. We caught just the tip at the end of it. That looks like a Muslim person there. John Deliz just been discharged. Pow! Right in the hijab. Yeah. You watch the jab. You got to watch the roundhouse, the jab. And that guy knows what he likes and what he doesn't like.
I heard he likes the Pat Dixon show.
That's extremely unusual to see a left-handed punch, sucker punch like that.
Yeah, southpaw like that, yeah. But he was, let me see what he was. This is in Dearborn, Michigan. Now, Michigan does have these communities that have an awful lot of Muslims in them. We know that there's a couple that have a majority, a deep majority. This is a 19-year-old woman. Wow, she's only 19. She's already covered up. She looks like a middle-aged old hag. A 57-year-old man, long shaggy hair, large green coat. He can be seen walking behind the victim. She checks in with staff. He lunges at her. She never saw it coming. I don't know what this guy was being treated for. The victim was at the hospital on the day of the attack because she thought she'd broken her jaw after slipping on ice. Well, let's help you make that determination. Punched her right in the jaw. I'm not for punching people, by the way, if they haven't earned it. And I don't mean to sound insensitive about this case. I'm getting some dirty looks from some of the hippies in the Bob Dylan area here. But
she should have been slapped.
She should just slapped would have been fine. I mean, it's he maybe took it too far. But that was, I mean, he was a left hand. Maybe that's why he went lefty, you know, because she didn't really, because it was preemptive, you know, just to make sure. Dearborn police said he accosted her. He accosted other patients asking for cigarettes and attempted to wander down hallways. Attempted wandering in a hospital is serious. Her attack had been waiting for a ride. Her attacker had been before he started pummeling the teen. I don't like it when they say teen for 19, 18. Once you're fucking adult, they should just say woman and stop saying teen. Because that's a pliable word, you know what I mean? It's the way they can shade the news. Three teens were shot or whatever by the police. She claims the attack wouldn't have happened had hospital staff been monitoring the disturbed man. That's probably true. I mean, I can't argue with that.
I think they did the right thing. This is the best way to get rid of him, by letting him hit somebody that's not on your staff. It's not one of the team getting hit. And now they got a good case against him. They can bar him from the hospital.
It's because it's bound to happen. It's bound to happen that he's gonna punch somebody before he goes. And that's like the impulse buy stuff that you have by the cash register. You know, he's on his way out. He's Muslim punch. You know what I mean? Like it's like he can't, it's like not picking up a pack of gum or a dirty magazine or something. It's just right there.
I think he wanted to stay in, and that's why he did it.
Stay in the hospital?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that? I doubt he'll be hospital like because he broke his hand on her face.
Well, or that he just hit her and stuff like that. He got arrested.
Oh yeah, he gets to go to jail now, though. Yeah, maybe he's. We want to hold him accountable for not looking after. Okay, well, obviously, yeah, he hasn't got the money. The hospital does, so we have to blame the hospital. That's the one that's got the cash, and they'll settle right away on this because, I mean, you know, you get sued by some Muslim lady, you're going on a lot of money. It costs a lot to fight shit in court. You're much better off just coughing up a cash. So we take pride in our service to this diverse community. We want all patients to feel welcome at both. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted because I keep noticing that you're Elaine Witt is still knitting over there.
Yeah.
What could you be knitting now?
Well, you won't believe this, Pat, but I was just thinking about a dream. I was knitting and thinking about this dream I had about
You're knitting a dream, huh?
Yeah, I'm knitting a dream.
Uh-huh.
I worked for Mr. Cohen in the law firm of Cohen Schwartz, Farb, and Cohen.
Okay, oh, of course, yeah.
And I was going to the subway at 86th Street.
Yeah?
And it was the 6th train. That was in my dream, and I didn't just stab one of the babies, I stabbed both babies. And then my boss, he was mad at me because I only... He ended up throwing the babies into the train. But I did find that right train, and I did wake up.
Okay, well, good. Okay. Do you need a ride home or anything? Are you going to be able... You'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, I won't kill anyone, and I won't take that train. I'll take the Long Island Railroad. I'll be safe.
Yeah, of course. That nothing ever happens there, not for a long, long time.
Could I interview you, Elaine?
I think you know what he means by interview.
Later, could I interview you about your past with your knitting implements? She's very cool. She didn't complain when I manspread over there on the couch or anything.
Oh, yeah, man, manspread.
Lady.
It's like the 80s here. The word manspread's not even invented yet.
That's why.
Yeah, look at her. Normally she sleeps there, so she's comfortable, you know, with letting anybody have a seat for a moment. She'll be all stretched out in a bit. Now let's other national news. There was a guy, he was about to get 25 years, he got 65, and he started laughing about it. That's in Alabama. 18-year-old laughed as he was sentenced to 65 years in prison for murder and theft. And, yeah, he passed on a plea deal for 25 years. Hard to plea down to 25, you know what I mean? You want to, like... Anything over 10, you just roll the dice, maybe. His name's Lakeith Smith. Smiled and laughed during the sentencing. But when you're that young, 25 years, you get out, you still got, you know, some life in you, hopefully. No one else was amused, apparently. This is the judge speaking. Judge Sibley Reynolds said, "You just don't get it, do you?" He hasn't said, "I'm sorry," yet. He hasn't acknowledged to this court that he shouldn't have done, that he shouldn't have come around. In fact, his attitude towards this court and life in general has been sour. It's the judge speaking. His grandfather was there. Now, you ever notice this? Why do criminals always have these super concerned, caring, supportive grandparents? They always advocate for them when they're in trouble. It's like their specialty. It's like it doesn't matter if it's robbery, stealing a car, Yeah, that's what you actually end up with the headline. Man convicted of murder, actually good boy, grandparent. That's what...
Urban guilt.
Urban guilt?
It's urban guilt. They still feel bad about firing heroin and getting drunk and rolling dice while their children, which were his parents,
right,
were essentially homeless. So
Oh.
If they survived their life of misbehavior, then they might be able to shed some guilt on their grandchildren.
I see. They go, you know what? Yeah, I was a shitty dad, and my kids... And now it's like two generations down shitty. And they go, well, it's too late to do anything. So I'll go into court. Because really, they could have intervened at a younger age. They didn't have to wait until they were in trouble with the law. How is this when they tell this reporters what a good boy it is? How is that even news? You know what I mean? How is that even like hey, this kid's grandparent thinks he's pretty good still, even though this guy's dead. Yeah, so there we go.
They don't all think they're pretty good. I was in line at a ghetto supermarket about a year and a half ago. There was a 2-year-old boy standing in front of me down low, and his grandmother, great-grandmother, handed him a bag about 15 pounds worth of meat, because this store had really good meat deals on chicken and pork particularly. And she hands it to him, and this bag that weighs almost as much as him drops to the ground, and he looks up at her, and she points at him. She said, you're going to bring that, or I'm going to show you what happens to a nigga who don't haul his load. And the cashier wanted to say something. She's biting back tears, the cashier was.
Biting back tears?
And yeah, the cashier was biting her lip, and she was starting to cry.
Why? Because this kid has to carry some meat?
Yeah, the cashier had this misplaced compassion, probably some liberal leftist or something. Yeah.
And that's a communist degree of compassion. Right? Yeah.
And the little kid's, you know, dragging his meat along, and mama's... At that store, I was walking to that store one time. There's this 450-pound black chick in spandex and some kind of tube top.
I know her, yeah.
Yeah, they could have buried you in this tube top, right? And there's this little Nigerian security guard running out behind her. He says, Mama, Mama, Mama. And she turns around and she makes fists like she's ready to fight. And he dances up to her, pirouettes, and he takes his fingers just like this, and he puts them between her breasts. And then he pulls out this 24-ounce box of frozen hamburger patties. And he takes it back inside. And the guy racking up the cart said, you're not going to resell that, are you? He takes it back inside to put it in the case. So,
Are you sure it was theirs, though? I just keep that there to keep them cool.
She might have stolen them at the other store that she shopped at earlier. Who knows? And
good Lord.
It could have been a body temperature regulator.
You saw this occur?
Yes, I was going into that very same supermarket.
I never see anything funny like that. Maybe I got to hang out at the ghetto...
the ghetto grocery.
Ghetto grocery.
It's one of my books, by the way, the ghetto grocery.
Ghetto grocery? You got a book about that?
Ghetto grocery.
Where can people find these books? Like an easy list, though, where they're all... you can find them there on your author page, James LaFond.
Yes, I have 178 listings on Amazon.
Believe this guy.
Okay, but... It's just double because it's really just 130 books, and about 60 of them are Kindle, so it comes out to almost 200.
And this one here is So My Master May Have Him Again.
And I did one for the girls, too, So Her Master May Have Her Again.
Oh, nice.
Which is, that's repeated.
White female slaves?
Yes, that's repeated a lot.
History of Runaway White Slaves in Plantation America. This is part one. So there was a lot of white slavery in the United States?
Yes. At the time that this country was founded, it was 3,200,000 people. You had 600,000 blacks, predominantly slaves. They were classified as Negroes or mulattoes at the time. They didn't really use the term white or black back then very much. And then
really,
amongst the whites, approximately one-third of the white population, which was five times as much as the black population, were unfree. There were over 200,000 bound people in the state of Pennsylvania. In 1783, and Benjamin Franklin mentioned this to an opponent in a debate, a guy named Thomas Jay that he was debating with. You would get sold, if you owned on your grocery bill, every quarter when a county court came into session, you'd go up for auction.
Just like that.
You would go up for auction.
And you won't... Now,
that was illegal, period.
But not forever, right?
No, your term would be from 3 to 31 years.
Wow.
So if you got caught stealing an apple or a chicken, 14 years. You're a transport or a convict. That's 14 years. If you just won't marry the dude that your dad wants you to marry, 7 years. That you're usually sold for 7 years. But it's an indeterminate time because if you're a redemptioner and you committed a crime in England and you hop on a ship, the captain's going to sell you in the harbor. to somebody, and the amount of money, he's going to get as much money out of you as he can, and that amount of money is going to be converted into service time.
Sure. And so this, it has nothing to do with anything you've done. It's just the fact that you're in the wrong place, wrong time, and now this guy's going to sell you for more.
Right.
So
your Negro goes from 80 to...
Why would he name any other price? It makes no difference to him. It's just longer. You're not going to come after him, right?
You had to pay a guy a shilling a day to work for you.
A day.
16 shillings to a pound. You could buy a white boy for £3, and he'll work for you for 3 to 7 years.
Jesus.
Or
that's
you could,
a goddamn good deal. I have a deal similar to that with Ryan Katz, who were there right now.
If you bought a black guy, it cost you between 80 and 120, but then you get to keep him for life.
Well, so you got to weigh it.
Yeah, so.
What kind of work do you need done here?
right.
Is this muscle labor? What?
I want to ask you, one of the things that I've been doing a little
research. Can you guys hear him speak now? Or no? Go to the mic, Bob Dylan.
One of the things I've been reading, like in the biblical times, right after the Ten Commandments, there's a law that says that the Israelites can only hold a slave in some of the translations for 7 years. So I'm wondering if the 7 years indentured servitude was 7 years as old. Was that based on what they thought was a biblical?
Yes, it was based on the book of Leviticus.
Yeah.
The 7 year term was for a Jew in this book. The non-Jews would be held until the end of the Jubilee, which was like nine. And that's where you would have blacks.
Is that why they call it the Jubilee?
Yeah, you would have blacks waiting for Jubilee because in the period when all the tribes were in Israel, which was only a couple hundred years, every 51 years or 49 years, whatever it was, you had to let everybody free, even if they weren't an Israelite, because you could – and if came into possession – Jew, you really had to try to do what you could to let people know that they could get together a lottery and buy him back. I have a friend who's an Israeli that lives on the West Bank, and he told me that they still have this tradition in regards to debt, getting together and helping your relative pay off their debt. Mm-hmm. And this was all debt slavery. It's in the book of Leviticus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all right.
That's what it was based on.
Did that answer your fucking question?
I'm sorry. I
thought it's very impressive, though.
Let's take a call. What's happening, Brady? How are you?
Hey, Pat. How are you tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm doing excellent. Having a good time talking to James LaFond, you know, having some pizza, learning about...
Oh, yeah, I love James.
What was it that hand... Oh, you're a big fan, eh?
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay, cool. You're in Colorado, and you're a fan of James. Oh, which of his books have you read?
I am not a book reader. I'm sorry.
Well, he's an author of books, so what are you a fan of?
I skim through the articles and stuff that other people write about his books and read his quotes and everything like that.
Oh, now I see what you mean. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, his books are available on Amazon, but if you're not a book reader, they will not help you. There's not much you can do with them other than read them. And what's going on in Colorado tonight?
Well, we actually had a pro-Second Amendment walkout over in Colorado Springs.
No way.
That's making national news. A bunch of students got together and decided that they're watching all these other students across the nation that are doing these anti-Second Amendment walkouts, and they decided to do a pro one.
That's nuts. That's fantastic. They probably were not granted permission, probably were all suspended.
No, that's the one thing that's kind of wonky about this state is that the administrators they put out a statement saying that we're not getting in the way, we're not saying that they can do it, and we're not saying that they can't do it.
We're not saying they can't. Man, that is a waffling-ass politician right there. We don't have any comments. We just hope this is over soon. Now, how many kids was this, did you say?
It was like it was almost the entire school. I mean, it was a pretty large school over in Colorado Springs.
Nice. It's nice that they're getting some headlines going in the other direction there. You know what I mean? Maybe we can keep this communism thing beat off for another couple of years if we keep going like this. You know, maybe there'll be other schools that'll follow suit. I mean, like, really in the middle of the country and, everywhere except these really vocal minorities of Americans in New York City and California, People's Republic of California, that's all we hear about, And so, like, it's nice to hear from something outside the bubble that's going the other direction. You know, usually, too, people that believe in the Second Amendment aren't big activists, it seems.
No, it's the silent majority, and I know that term's been blown out of hand, but it really is the silent majority because people just don't give a fuck to... if you're pro 2A or if you're a conservative and you're in a place like this, everybody else around you is. So it's, what are we going to do? Stand up and yell at each other about the things that we all believe in?
Yeah, it's funny. You got to, I mean, and to get some kind of national coverage, you got to have a bunch of students that do something that's a little outside the box, I guess. But you know what they should have done? Like they have all the students, instead of walking out of school, they should bring their guns to school.
Oh, God, Pat. Jesus Christ.
Why not?
Holy fuck. Yeah, and then we need the National Guard fucking rolling into a school. And
at 10:17, we're going to all fire them over our head at the same time.
Holy fuck.
Look, they need to be terrified about what a school filled, a school of kids, like a school of fish. I guess that's what they come in with guns, man. They can, you know, it's time we got to take it back. We're the ones with the guns. How can the people with the guns lose a fight on whether or not they get to have guns?
Because we're the level-headed ones.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, good point. All right, Brady. Thanks for telling me about that. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Talk to you later. Yeah, you too. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? I like to hear that.
I spent some time out there for the past 2 years interviewing the fellow that I wrote.
In Colorado?
I've never been west of the Mississippi until this fellow was a reader of mine and invited me out, Bob Johnson. And he lives in Utah. Right up near the border of Wyoming. So I've spent a lot of time with him and his friends in Utah, Wyoming, and Montana.
Did he find a good deal on a shack up there?
He has a house. I believe he built it.
Sorry, I was making a Unabomber joke.
I'm sorry.
It's not a real question. So way up there, and it's God's country.
So I've spent a total of 4 weeks out there in 2 years, and I've only seen two police officers in three states. One was a state cop running, and the other one was the sheriff of a small town in Montana who was just out on the street talking to everybody.
Yeah.
And there's virtually no crime out there. There's no cops. And everybody's polite. If you break down on the side of the road, they'll line up to help you instead of pile out to, you know, tear stuff out of your car.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, it's a whole different sort of, especially for you coming from inner city Baltimore, a whole different mind.
It's a weird alien planet where, like, people liked people. Yeah, you know? It was really
strange. Sheriff, it's like, you're not from around here. Welcome. Let's go to our one international story here because we have it. And don't forget to go to unwifablebook.com and get that book. Don't forget to come out. Nobody's watching anymore. Yeah, everybody's turned it off. Go to West Side Comedy Club on the 23rd. It's going to be a great show. And the 19th of April, boy, that's exciting too. Broadway Comedy Club. There's going to be music, comedy, and I haven't promoted it much, but I guarantee you it will be fun. We're going to play all sorts of numbers and have laughs and shit like that. And I'll be able to come back with you to you with like a more complete sort of a you know, fucking guest list and everything. Aaron Berg will be there, and Isis Faggot will be there on the 23rd, West Side Comedy Club. Do not miss that. I have some people want to say some things. What is it, Lane?
I wanted to plug my show.
Oh, okay. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Long Island on August 14th, Saturday night this week, and I have to have people there, so that's why I'm desperate.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's make sure you're there to see. You tell them you're there to see Helene Witt.
It's not a library. It's a real hotel.
Oh, wow.
Suffolk County this Saturday night. It's
Suffolk
a real show.
Suffolk County. What's the name of the hotel?
Clarion Hotel at 8 o'clock.
Okay. Clarion Hotel, 8 o'clock Saturday. If you're
Peter
out
Bales
in Suffolk.
Peter Bales is the headliner. He's one of those Long Island.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Peter Bales. I've seen him at Dangerfield sometimes, where I'll be tonight. And nice guy. Okay. Thank you, Helene. And what are you saying, Zach?
Junkie waitress fight.
All right. Junkie
I just DM'd it to
fight.
Garrett.
Oh, did you? Let's have a look. This happened at... you got fired over this because you were videoing this for the show.
Yeah.
So as a correspondent, you were you lost your regular job in favor of this job now, which is not really a job, is it?
I'm just happy to be aboard,
you
sir.
You still working anywhere? Are you working anywhere now?
I applied for unemployment, and I've already basically got another job, so...
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck Greek people in general. I'm sorry, but I have a new hatred that
nice.
Is...
Nice, let's look at the clip.
Get the fuck out of my face! Get the fuck out of my face! Get the fuck out of his face!
Here's the junkie waitress. Hi, Nicole.
Whoa. 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 Now it's the time, I think. World star. Wow, this is a nice place you were.
Yeah, State Diner. Come for the heroin, stay for the assault.
Wow. Pass the assault, please.
How's the deal?
Got any mustard? Well, that's the end of that. They got rid of that junkie waitress. The waitress was on heroin, you said.
She was talking about that day how, like, I normally have someone to tell myself to, like a judge or a parole officer, but I don't have anybody. So she managed to, you know, hit bottom herself, which I'm kind of glad for her.
Oh, so she's off the heroin now.
No, she's off her job, so she can...
Oh, great. Who cares about that? Yeah, okay. And you got fired just for shooting... So that high quality video.
They had security cameras. They I guess wanted me to involve myself in a junkie argument.
They're like, how come you didn't jump in and help? And
I was too busy recording the violence for this wonderful show here.
Thank you. I don't think I would be involved with that at all. Man, they can't fire you for that.
I mean, it's like working in 1987 at that place. It's not like Greek people are not like normal human beings. They run things in a very Greek way. Mm. And I was warned when I got the job what a ridiculous shit show that place was. But you know,
you ever seen Giannis Pappas?
I have not.
I mean, God damn.
I've seen him.
Not a normal guy. Greek. Giannis is Greek. Famous people is Greek. David Sampras is Greek. He's got a whole list of Greeks. He's a very funny guy, Giannis Pappas. I was kidding about him. But you're not. You really hate him, huh? It's okay. You're in a safe place. You can say it here.
I hate Greek people.
Okay, thank you. All right. Now me, I like Greeks just fine. Zach Wynn, not a fan. Let's one more story here. A Russian woman was embalmed alive when doctors unwittingly put her on a formaldehyde-based drip instead of a saline. Her name is Ekaterina Fedieva, 27. We have a headline here, I think. Look at her beautiful. Oh, she's a lovely woman, too. That is the before picture. She died from a gruesome medical blunder in which her veins were pumped full of the chemical. It's used to prevent the decomposition of bodies, obviously. It's pure murder, her mother said. She said it was simply eroding her body from the inside. She was getting a routine surgery when doctors put her on the formalin drip, and it can be used to disinfect. I wonder what that would feel like. I mean, you know, just like a... Maybe... I would thought it would be like Botox or something, you know? Just kind of like...
It probably felt like getting punched in the kidneys. Okay. Or the liver.
It makes sense. Her whole body was shaking. She went into convulsions. Her legs were moving. You know who I blame for this? The Russians. It's the fucking Russians. James LaFond, thanks so much for being here, man. Come back again anytime.
Thanks for having me.
You have a wealth of information, and I'm going to interview you. You'll be on an episode of New York City Crime Report very soon.
Yeah.
And let's go out with that 336, if you don't mind. This is a clip of myself, Dan Genis, rather. He was known as the Apologetic Bandit, and he did it for heroin as well. And he did 10 years in the can, various cans, 12 different correctional facilities. He got out. And he shared with us some of the stuff that he learned. He's still on parole, but it was 2014 when he got out. And he said, you know, immediately red-pilled, you know, got out and just like, man, everybody hates white people. I guess I'm a Republican. So that's what he is. And a very good interview. And you can get that at crimereport.nyc, crimereport.nyc. I need 1,000 subscribers to this podcast. 1,000 new subscribers is what I need. Thanks one more time to the booth. You guys are doing an amazing job. And thanks, Anthony Cumia, for letting us do this show.
Mm-hmm. In Rikers Island, when you walk around, you're just – it's shocking because in the regular population, the regular world, you don't see facial scarring that much.
Not really.
And people who do have it as a cause of war or accident usually have access to plastic surgeons who fix it up. Mm-hmm. Prisoners don't.
No.
So they get sewn up with dental floss.
Jeez.
So when I first saw guys walking around with rips from ear to mouth, which are called telephone cuts,
yes.
Because you get them when you're on the wrong phone, like you're using the blood's phone and you're not supposed to, you didn't ask permission, so they just come and slash you from ear to mouth.
Now, how could you use someone's phone?
The phones are claimed. Anything in prison that's somewhat of a resource, something that's a commodity and has some value is immediately claimed.
So it's out in the common area, but it does not belong to everyone.
Oh, God, no.
I see.
And there's slot time. So after 6 o'clock, there's certain guys who have their half hour, and they're such bastards because half the time they have nobody to call, but they need to make sure that they still have the slot time, so they just hang the phone. They just let it hang. So at 6:30 on a Friday night, when it's like your only chance to call home, the phone is just hanging there, not being used.
Because that's my slot time.
So that, well, some... You know, yeah. I never had a slot time. I didn't try to be a gangster.
Wow.
I wasn't a punk either, but I was, you know, there's different hierarchies. So there's something called stand-up guy, like a regular guy who's not trying to be the big tough guy, but who's not a punk either.
Stand-up you,
guy.
Right?
That was me.
Okay.
Never snitched, never ran a debt.
Yeah.
Didn't do gay stuff.
Right. No. Yeah. The idea people have about prison is you know, what we see in movies and so what we've heard, and I mean it's
very warped. I'll tell you this, because before I came in, I thought I'm gonna have to watch my ass for 10 years, and it really wasn't like that.
No.
Not to say that there wasn't sex going on, but it was consensual.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah. I read that article about that, and it, like, the way you put it, it's like yeah, a guy just kind of takes a wait. There's a name for the relationship, a name for the guy.
Booty bandit.
Yeah, who is like sort of grooming a guy. They work out together, and this guy becomes his like protege, sort of.
Yes, you don't want to be in that position.
No,
no, because usually it gets to the point where the guy is paying for you to get high. Once he pays for you to get high, that's his claim on you.
Mm. Uh-huh. And now you're the phone hanging off. Man, it sounds like you could just accidentally step in shit everywhere.
Well, yes, trouble will definitely come for you.
I mean, like, do you get a warning on that phone thing?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You do, because they don't want to really. No, but I mean, only psychopaths really want violence. Nobody really wants it, because there's consequences. You know, it used to be even 20 years, as recently as 20 years ago, if you killed somebody in prison, you didn't get 25 to life. You got, you know, another 8 years added to your sentence. While if you kill a civilian, if you kill somebody in the real world, you get 25 to life.
Right. You kill somebody in prison, you save the 100 grand.
Well, you could actually get a medal, right? But